Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and this morning's conversation with Dr. Dov Zakheim, Undersecretary of Defense, Comptroller, and Chief Financial Officer in the Department of Defense. And joining us on our conversation is Tom Berlin.
Dr. Zakheim, you've really give us some things to talk about and think about relative to the size of the organization, the complexities of the organization. In many ways, as you pointed out, DOD is a conglomerate organization, as each of these components has its CFOs and its Deputy Assistant Secretaries of Financial Management. How do you coordinate that large organization in all of the efforts?
The first thing that I had to do was recognize that I could not dictate by fiat. There's only one individual in the Department of Defense to whom everybody has to listen, and that's Mr. Rumsfeld. And so when we realized that we had to get some control over the financial and related systems that the department was proliferating, and we now have an inventory in excess of 2,200 different systems, either directly involved in financial management and accounting, or what we call feeder systems, the health systems, logistics systems, personnel systems, and so on, that obviously feed into the financial management structure and that interact with it. 2,200 systems, over 6,000 interfaces. You begin to see why we have the kinds of problem disbursements that the Congress, in particular people like Senator Byrd and Senator Grassley, have been so upset about for years and years and years. And new systems were coming on board every day. Now, very often, these systems were being brought on board at lower levels. And from the perspective of the people who brought them on board at those lower levels, these were very efficient systems. Just as you move up each level, you're less efficient. Because by definition, you're suboptimal. You're only optimal at the lowest level. By the time you get to the secretary's level, the whole thing's a mess. Now, could I simply go to the secretaries of the Army, Navy, and Air Force and say, you must do as I say? Absolutely not. They don't report to me. And therefore, their financial managers, their assistant secretaries and deputy assistant secretaries, also don't report to me. Yes, they coordinate. Yes, there's some kind of dotted line. But anybody who's in business knows that there's only so far that the dotted line dots. And connecting those dots is tough. So what we did was get the Secretary of Defense. He was the one who sent out a memorandum to the service secretaries and the agency heads, all of whom have to say yes, sir, to him. And essentially he said, folks, if you want to field a new system, I'm delegating that decision to my Comptroller Chief Financial Officer. It's my authority, but I'm going to essentially do what he recommends. Immediately, we started getting the kind of feedback from the services that we'd never had before. So once that happened, the next job was to say to them, okay, I have the Secretary of Defense standing behind me, and I have his support, but I'm not just going to ride roughshod over you. I'm not going to decide by fiat that this system is good and this system is bad. And so we developed a process for reviewing each system as it was fielded, demonstrating that it was cost-effective, and most important of all, demonstrating that it fit within our new enterprise architecture that we were developing, that it would not be inconsistent with it, because that architecture is going to take several years. We hope it'll be done by 07. We've actually developed it, but we have to test it and field it and so on. And the department just can't stop doing business between now and 07. So what do you do? What you do is you ensure that each new system that's taken on will not be inconsistent with that architecture. Once the various services and also the what you might call domain owners, the subject matter kings and queens who cut at it functionally as opposed via service, realized that we weren't usurping their power. We were simply ensuring that everybody was starting to move in a harmonious way. We developed a degree of cooperation that I think is unprecedented in the department.
What's the time frame to solve this problem? The 2,200 systems came over 50 years. How have you thought about it?
Well, we did some surveys, And we actually looked at IBM as well, which has a pretty good track record in doing this. We looked at a number of companies, and we discovered, and we also looked at the British Ministry of Defense. We discovered a number of things. First, no one is of our size. Second, no one was able to in any way rationalize their systems in less than about 5 years. So we started in 2001, and our sense was 2007 would be the time at which we could field this entire new business management enterprise architecture. We're on track to do that. Congress, by the way, made a major commitment to support us. It's already funded $200 million in our direction. Senator Byrd has spoken out in favor of this. Senator Grassley has spoken out in favor of this. I mean, people who were longtime critics are supporting us. General Accounting Office, David Walker, the Comptroller General, has been a strong supporter. So we have an architecture. We're testing it. We hope to field it. We think we'll be on time in 07. Seems like a very long time, but again, no one has anything like the complexity that we encounter in the Defense Department.
Let me shift gears a little bit. How's the current war effort impacting financial management?
Well, of course it is. And we have to spend money at rates that are historically very, very, very high. And we have to manage all this. Our Defense Financial and Accounting, Finance and Accounting System, what's called DFAS, has to keep issuing the checks. We have to keep track of everything. Again, it's not just a matter of a budget. We have to execute that budget, and we have to track the execution. So one of our major tasks has been to ensure that despite this heightened level of activity, we did not go backwards. We did not increase the number of negative unliquidated obligations, which simply means you've issued a check without having the record to support it. We have funny words in the Pentagon. Or problem disbursements, which means that possibly a zip code was wrong. Essentially, first, do not let the situation compound the difficulties we have, and secondly, keep pressing forward. And we are. We are now producing, for example, financial statements on a quarterly basis with full and thorough footnotes, something that was never done, wasn't done 2 years ago.
I understand that the FY04 budget was done using a new process that combined program and budget. Could you tell us about that?
One of the archaic aspects of the Defense Department is that we had a planning, programming, and budgeting system that was developed under Robert McNamara, who, as my children were fond of pointing out to me when I told them that I knew him, was in the history books, Dad, and looked at me kind of like I really was ancient, too, and really hadn't changed much since the early 60s. So here we were, a 21st century organization with all that technology operating in a mid-20th century 1960s system with very, very few changes. Now, planning, programming, and budgeting is essential. However, to have a new plan every year, which is what this involved, makes no sense. To change the program every year makes no sense. Furthermore, what about execution? What about cash management? If you're so worried about financial management, financial statements, clean audits, and so on, shouldn't you have a system that emphasizes a look at how you're spending the money during the course of the year? What are your burn rates? Are they playing out the way you anticipated? And if not, can you shift the money around? Now, we are not as flexible as we would like to be. We've gone to Congress for more flexibility, but we had to have a case for this. So the first thing we did was say, well, we will combine the program and budget process. It wasn't clear that they needed to really be as separate as they were. We were constantly, year after year, making programmatic decisions. We'll buy program X and program Y, and then revisiting them in a separate budget decision. Well, maybe we won't buy program X and program Y. Well, are you going to buy it or not? Why are you revisiting 2 months later? Look at all the manpower you're wasting. The next question was, shouldn't we do this at least every other year? I don't really need an entirely new plan. I may need modifications to it. Obviously, I didn't anticipate an Iraq war 2 years ago, but that isn't going to happen every year. And therefore, the program itself only needs to be managed by exception. And maybe the budget as well should be managed by exception. One of the things we did was bring in a system of management initiative decisions. We have a system where we have program and budget decisions that finalize what we are going to do in the budget, and everyone has to follow those. We felt that we should do the same thing for management initiatives, that management was as important as budgeting. And one of those decisions was to go to a two-year system, to have a defense planning guidance every other year, to have a program, major program review every other year. And those program reviews involve each service and each defense agency coming up with what's called a program objective memorandum, this very thick document that goes program by program as to what they want to do for the next five or six fiscal years, as the case may be, depending on what year it is. We moved away from that. We are managing by exception in terms of the programs. We will have program change decisions that are being made right now. We will then have budget change decisions, and this will be in the off year. So in year one, you have a new defense guidance, you have a new program, you have a new budget. Year two, on the other hand, you don't rewrite the guidance. You don't rewrite the program. You manage by exception. You don't rewrite the budget. You use last year's and manage by exception. And you focus instead on budget execution. So that's quite a change. And one final anecdote. In early 2001, just around the time I was taking my job, I bumped into Robert McNamara. And I told him that we were trying to change the planning, programming, and budgeting process. And his answer was, "You're kidding me. You're still using that?"
It's an interesting point. What are the implications on the department of not having a clean audit opinion? We'll ask Dr. Dov Zakheim, CFO of the Department of Defense, for his perspective when the Business of Government Hour returns.